Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. What if I told you that last Tuesday, a young lady named Caroline posted a video of her morning devotions on Instagram? Her Bible was perfectly positioned next to a steaming cup of coffee, and she carefully arranged her prayer journal just to show enough of her neat writing and a request or two that people could make out in the picture. And the post got maybe 127 likes, the most she'd ever gotten. But here's what you couldn't see in the picture. Caroline hadn't actually read her Bible that morning. She'd staged the photo the night before, planning to do the devotional after posting, but she got caught up in responding to the comments. She never really got around to reading her Bible. 2 hours after that, a man named Peter, a respected leader in his church, got into a heated argument on Facebook about politics. That's the same man that would help to mediate conflicts in his own church, typed words he would never say standing face to face with someone else. Meanwhile, 14-year-old Kevin spent his entire evening watching YouTube videos, each one algorithmically selected to keep him clicking. Some were harmless gaming content, others subtly shaped his views about faith, about relationships, about truth, all while his unused Bible app sent him a notification reminder for the third straight day that he hadn't spent any time in God's Word. Meanwhile, Barbara, mind-numbingly, infinitely scrolling through her feed, never spending time with the Lord. Victor, that night, hops onto a device and opens a direct line of sewage into his mind on a habitual basis. Now, these stories are fictional, but they represent the daily lives and reality of too many Christians. Our phones are the first things we reach for in the morning. They're the last things we check at night. We live, we work, we play, and yes, sometimes we even practice our faith through a glowing rectangle of glass and steel, or probably plastic. But here's the question that I hope you'll consider. I hope that it will keep you up at night. And it's this: are we using these tools, or are they using us? Are we being molded more by our feeds than by our faith? Listen, we're going to have to figure out what it looks like to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in spaces and places that never existed when the Bible was penned. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian church about focusing their minds on whatever is true. Let's read together verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul could not have imagined Instagram or TikTok. I still can't imagine TikTok. But he understood a timeless truth about human nature and spiritual formation, if I could put it that way. What we consistently give our attention to shapes who we become. Today, the challenge isn't whether to engage in digital or with digital technology. Really, that decision's all but been made for us. The real question is, how do we engage in this digital age as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we bring biblical wisdom to our use of, say, social media or what we're streaming? How do we practice genuine Christ-honoring faith in an age of carefully curated online personalities? How do we love our neighbors when they have a screen name that doesn't make any sense to anyone in the world? How do we protect our purity while still connected to the rest of the world? Tonight, I want to spend just a few minutes exploring what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in a connected world in a message I've entitled Digital Discipleship. Digital Discipleship. It'd be great if we could just put our head in the sand, if we could go back 30 years and never have to deal with any of the things that we're dealing with now. But I want to remind you that none of this is going away, my friends. It's only going to get more and more and more prevalent. We have people that want to put implants into our brains so that we don't even need the devices that we carry around, or we'll carry around in our head. That sounds like insanity today or science fiction from years ago, but sometime in the future it just may be reality. No fear, denial, and ignorance, those aren't going to give us the answers that we need. I believe God's Word has the answers. But I want you to think about this. Every time you unlock your phone, you are making a discipleship decision. I want you to make those decisions well. And you may be here, and you may not have any problems, and I praise the Lord if that's true, on the things that we're going to talk about tonight. But you may have children that you're going to have to help navigate through these waters. Or one day you may have children that need to navigate these waters. And they're perilous. They're treacherous. And we need God's help in today's digital age. The first thing I want you to see is your screen influence is eternal influence. When you picked up your phone this morning, you just didn't grab that piece of silicone and metal and glass. You stepped into what many people consider their real life. I'm going to tell you something that is shocking. The digital world is real. And for some, it is their real life. The average teenager today spends 9 hours, 9 hours on their devices every single day. Now listen carefully. That's more time on the device than they spend sleeping every day. It's certainly more time than they're spending in God's Word. It's more time than they're spending with their family. My friends, that ought to break our hearts. And I can say they and those teenagers, but the truth of the matter is it's not contained to teenagers anymore. It affects every generation. Paul said, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely. Lovely? That includes every tap on your phone, every Instagram post, every TikTok video that you make or that you consume, every text message that is sent out. Let me ask you a question this morning. It may be a painful question. How many of you checked your phone before you checked in with the Heavenly Father this morning? I mean, be honest. You know, the devil knows something that many of us, unfortunately, have yet to figure out. He knows what shapes our thinking. He knows how to shape your life. And right now, your thinking is being shaped hour by hour, minute by minute, on what's coming through on that little screen in your pocket. You say, oh, come on, Pastor. Listen, it's just social media. It's just entertainment. No, it's not just anything. It's discipleship. It's discipleship. Every time you scroll through that feed, you are being discipled. The question is, who is doing the discipling? I want you to listen very carefully. I'm going to give you some numbers that I hope rattle your thinking. The average person touches their phone 2,617 times a day. 2,600 times a day. I was afraid to do the math because I'd have to pick up my phone to... The average person checks their social media 63 times a day and spend 147 minutes. That's 2 hours and 45 minutes a day on social media every single day. Now, you compare that to the average time spent reading the Bible. The average time spent in prayer. I'm going to tell you, we have our priorities way, way out of whack. David wrote in Psalm 119, 37, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." David understood something critical, something crucial to his spiritual walk. What we fix our eyes on matters to God. But today, we've got our eyes fixed on screens that are feeding us a steady diet of worldliness, time-wasting, mind-numbing entertainment, and ungodly thinking. I'm not just talking to teenagers. Moms, dads, you have to set the example. You have to be the example. If you're going to help your children to navigate these treacherous waters, you're going to have to show them, not just tell them how to get through it. We are very restrictive on what device and how much time our children are allowed to be on those devices. But one day they're going to have a device. And I want them to know how to use it. They're not going away. We need to understand and we need to be able to pass the truth on that when somebody takes a selfie and you share that status update, when you send which I hope nobody's on something called Snapchat. I was doing some interesting reading on that. By the way, this whole idea of the Snapchat is something that you can take a picture, is my understanding. You send it, and after a few moments, it goes away and is off into the ether. Supposedly, you're not able to take screenshots. But I'm going to tell you, I remember a story. I'll have to do some research on it. But just a few years ago, Snapchat got hacked. And guess what? All the photos that had ever been taken and put on those servers were disseminated throughout the internet. Nothing that you ever put on the information superhighway ever truly goes away. I heard a preacher say today, I don't remember the exact quote, but basically he said this: live your life as though if you didn't want something printed about you in the papers, don't do it then. If you don't want something about you on the internet, then don't do it, because it's never going away. But when you send those selfies, when you're sharing all that content on your social media and the videos that you make, you are sharing your life, who you are, what you're about, what your goals are, your aspirations. You know what you're really doing? You're really influencing others. You say, oh, I want to be an influencer. Well, let me ask you this: who's influencing you? There's no neutral ground in the Christian life. Now, I'm not standing here telling you to throw your phones away. That's not reality. That's not going to happen. But I am telling you it's time to wake up to reality. The digital reality. Your online life is not separate from your real life or your spiritual life. Let me give you three very quick thoughts. I'm just going to one, two, three, and then we're going to move on to the next point that I think will help you remember to be careful where you go, the influences that you're experiencing. Number one, your screen influence is eternal influence. Number two, your online time is discipleship time. Your screen influence is eternal influence. Your online time is discipleship time. And number three, your digital choices are spiritual choices. Your digital choices are spiritual choices. All right, so number one, we talk about influence. Number two, I want to talk about integrity. Integrity. Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever things are of good report. Just carries the idea of being something praiseworthy. That is good. Have you ever thought about what it really means to live a life of integrity, even with the online influences that we have around us? I mean, Paul gives us, I don't say a checklist. We're not saying, well, I've thought of something lovely today, check it off. No, he gives us a list of alternatives, things that we can run to when we're tempted to think about something else, when we're tempted to go somewhere else, whether it's physically or online. And he says, listen, here are some things that you can run to and make sure that it's of good report, that it is something that is praiseworthy to God, not something that smells like the sewer. I mean, that idea of a good report, I want to have a reputation like that. I want a reputation that's of good report. When others see your life, both online or offline, does it reflect the Lord Jesus Christ? There's two things I want to look at when we talk about integrity. What are our words and what are we watching? What are our words and what are we watching? Let's start with your words. What do you say online? You've probably heard this before. Sticks and stones, what? She knows it. I'm going to tell you something. They got it right. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Words matter. And God's word makes that crystal clear over and over and over again. You know what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36? I really want you to see this. I don't want you to just write that reference down. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, if you would, please. Now, you may not have a red letter edition, so I'll just help you out. This is the Lord speaking. It says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Think about that. Every word. Every word you type, every word you post or share online, I think those count as well. Are your words of good report? Are they pointing others to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes I get the sense that social media can feel like a battleground. It's a minefield. I read the news headlines and they recount what people are saying on different social. So you don't even need the social accounts to still be influenced by the different social media companies. And the headlines always start like this: so-and-so blasts so-and-so. They're always words of violence used one against the other. So-and-so is slamming someone else. But that's the mentality of social media. You got to slam. You have to destroy or whatever the word of the day may be. But here we see people arguing and gossiping and tearing each other down and backbiting and backstabbing with just a few strokes of the keyboard. You know, our words are supposed to be full of grace and truth, seasoned with salt. Not salty in a sailor kind of way. It's not what the Lord is saying. One preacher said they should be tasty and helpful. I like that. We hear about teens being bullied. I came across this statistic today that says 41% of U.S. adults have experienced online harassment. 25% they've seen harmful speech escalate in these digital spaces. I just want you to know, your words have power. And if you're using anonymity because somebody doesn't know who you are to say things you wouldn't normally say, there's a problem with that. There's a lack of integrity. Don't join the crowd of bomb throwing, negativity. Stand out as someone who speaks the truth, who speaks it in love. So, let me give you a couple things that will help you in that. Think before you post. Some of y'all should pray before you post. Does what I am going to send out reflect Philippians 4:8? I think you ought to be intentional about encouraging others in person, but also online. Encourage them with their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you share scripture. Maybe you can share prayer requests. I don't know. I'm right on that borderline of being too old to be a part of it, but young enough to realize how powerful and influential it is. Maybe you could share your testimony. You know, by the way, if you have said something that was a disaster online, own it. Apologize. Just like you would talking to somebody in person. I believe that's real integrity. But not only your words, I want to talk about just for a moment what you watch. I mean, let's be honest. One of the biggest threats to online integrity in our day and age today is pornography. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Pornography is the exact opposite of what Philippians 4:8 is trying to tell us to think about. It damages your heart. It damages your relationships. You think it's a harmless thing, and I'm telling you, you are accruing damage not only to your future relationships, but to your body. Paul told the Corinthians that all these other sins, they're bad, but when you sin in this area of physical purity, it affects your own body. I've got a series of DVDs back there, and one of them shows three brains that have gone through an MRI. One of them is a normal brain, and it would be just like you would imagine to see in a textbook. The next one is a brain that has been affected, I believe it was by heroin. It was some kind of drug. If not heroin, it would have been cocaine, might have been cocaine. But it had big holes in the brain because there were certain regions of the brain, the pleasure centers had been overloaded, and it had left holes and problems in the other parts of the brain. Then they showed a brain of someone that had been addicted to pornography. You could not tell the difference between the person that had been afflicted by heroin or cocaine and the person that had been completely afflicted or addicted to pornography. You see, it starts off as a choice, but it soon becomes a bondage that is very, very challenging to break free from. It's not harmless. It certainly isn't entertainment. It rewires the brain. The 2022 Barna study revealed that 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women say they view porn at least monthly. Those things should not be so. What I find even more alarming is that 33% of teens aged 13 to 17 admit to seeing explicit content regularly. It's not just a moral issue. It's not just whether or not we want more laws passed, which there should be online laws that are passed. But this is a spiritual warfare that we're in the midst of. By the way, I've had people in my office telling me that the first time they were exposed to pornography is 9 years old. 9 years old. Let me just talk to the parents for a minute. We need to make sure, not just to lock it down or think that we have it, we need to be so diligent that that's an impossibility. The world tells you, well, kids are going to get online and they're going to... No, they don't have to. I do think there's a time where you're starting to teach them and they're going to be at a place where they have liberty and they're going to be out there, but there should be some things put in their life long before they're just given free access. I wouldn't let my 9-year-old go drive on the freeway, and I'm certainly not going to let them drive on the digital information highway. We need to have some wisdom. Psalm 101:3 gives a simple thought that every one of us needs to cling to. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Not a few things, not a little thing, not once a month or whatever the people say they were getting into, certainly not once a week. No wicked thing. I'm not going to set anything in front of my eyes that's going to be displeasing to the Lord. See, when you're consuming pornography, you're allowing this wickedness to fill your mind. It controls your thoughts. It distorts God's beautiful design for intimacy. And it leaves people feeling empty, guilty, convicted, and very, very, very far away from God. Global pornography, the industry, generates somewhere over $97 billion. I read a statistic that said in the U.S. alone, 28,000 users watch porn every second. It's an epidemic. It is an epidemic. Christians aren't immune, but we can walk in victory. Thank God who always giveth us the victory. I want to give you just a couple very practical things to help you. Number one, if you have a device, you ought to have some kind of accountability tool on it. I can give you a list of one or two. Covenant Eyes, what our family uses. I've been recently introduced to something called Accountable to You. You say, Pastor, you have accountability software on your devices? I do. I think you should. You say, do you have a problem? No, but I don't want one either. You ought to have somebody that you can trust when you're struggling. Be willing to be vulnerable for the sake of purity. And then there's a replacement principle. Replace the temptation with godly habits. You say, oh, let me finish this thought. So instead of spending so much time, somebody called it doom scrolling one time. I heard that called. I like that. It's like the endless doom for your mind, I guess. But read a book. Spend time with others. I'm not saying it's sinful to ever sit down and relax and to veg for a few minutes, but I'm saying we use that as our excuse as the hours roll by. Then I think we ought to have what I call the elimination principle. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was talking about temptation, and I don't have the verses right in my notes here. The Lord just brought this back to my mind. But, you know, he talked about radical surgery if you want to live a pure and whole life. He said, if the eye offend thee, what did he say? Pluck it out. Now, I'm not telling you that if you have a problem with pornography to go stab yourself in the eye. That's not what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, but he's saying there's some radical things that have to be done. It says, if thy right hand offend thee, then what? Cut it off. Let me tell you, if you are struggling and you cannot get victory, it may be time to get rid of your devices. You say, oh, I could never live without my devices. It'd be better to live without your devices and live in victory than it is to have access to the filth and not be able to break free. I believe that there's a time that there has to be an outward help until that inward strength is grown. And it's a muscle that has to be developed And as long as there's that outside accountability, that helps in that walk. You say, Pastor, I'm struggling, and I would be mortified if anybody found out. Now, I'm going to tell you, as long as it lives in secrecy, it's going to dominate your life. When you're ready to get victory, it's time to open up to somebody. It's time to let the light shine in. Oh, let me tell you, the devil, he wants to make to think that the worst thing in the world would that somebody else would know about this deep, dark secret. I can't tell you how many people I've had in my office, here or the other building. And they're dealing with the carnage that their addiction has brought, but almost universally, to a young man, I'm so glad it's out. I'm so glad it's out. What a relief. But the devil, he'll convince you, no, don't. Don't go talk to somebody. What will they think of you? You know what I think when somebody comes to me? Praise God, there's somebody that wants to get victory in their life and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I think. It's not just pornography. Every media that we allow into our lives shapes our heart, our mind. And if it's not good or wholesome or healthy media, it's doing that in an unhealthy way. I said teenagers spent 9 hours a day. The average person spends 7 hours a day staring at a screen, consuming digital content. So maybe you don't have a problem with pornography, but you're constantly watching shows, your scrolling feeds are filled with ungodly messages, and there's a constant connection to the digital world. I think the first step is to moderate how much time we spend on the digital landscape. But then when we are there, we still need to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a digital disciple. People are watching. Your footprint is part of your testimony, your digital footprint, that is. What you live with, the integrity that you have online, I think you are showing people still today what it looks like to walk with Jesus. It's just a different frontier. I'm not that enthusiastic about it, I'll be honest with you, but that's the reality in which we live today. But if we are going to be online, we ought to be living a life that looks what it looks like to walk with the Lord. The idea of letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God, your Father, which is in heaven, is still true even in the online world. Maybe you need to take a break from social media if it's breaking you, if it's becoming a stumbling block. Replace that time with something that is wholesome, that is good, that is edifying to your soul and your walk with God. Listen to podcasts that are going to be a help to you. Listen to preaching. Read something. You say, I'm not a reader. Then read slow, but read something. How's your online integrity? Are your words and your watching, what you're watching, lining up with Philippians 4:8? If not, I'm not here to beat you up tonight. I don't want you beating yourself up, but I don't want you to stay there either. I think today you can start living a life of victory. It's a small thing, but come talk to somebody. My door's open. There are other godly men and godly women here that you can go to and begin to get help. Sometimes it's just small changes. Just commit to posting what is true, what is lovely, what is of good report, what has virtue. Purpose in your heart that you're going to guard your eyes and guard your heart with things that honor the Lord. Strive to be a Christian that has the reputation of having good report. Not just an outward reputation, that of integrity. I think the devil just wants you to believe that what you do online doesn't really matter. He wants you to believe that your digital life is separate from your spiritual life or your real life. But that's a lie. That's a lie. Every click, every post, every video, every message is either building your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ or it is tearing it down. Are you a digital disciple? You say, maybe you're not online at all. I still think that you have children and grandchildren that need to know the truths of God's word to help them to navigate these waters.